Before our reading this morning, we'd like to honor two prayer requests. One is on behalf of Becky Morgan, the sister of Brian Strom, also the aunt of Aaron and James Strom of our student body. She's undergoing her first chemotherapy treatment this morning for cancer, and also prayers for the 200-plus victims of the mass shooting in Las Vegas last night and the families of the 50-plus concert-goers who lost their lives in that horrible shooting. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, at your gracious invitation, we approach your throne on behalf of the many families who are now suffering from this tragedy. Grant them the peace and comfort that can be found only in you and your saving word through the work of your Son. Teach all of us to number our days in this life that we may gain hearts of wisdom by the work of your Holy Spirit. We also pray that you would be with Becky Morgan as she begins treatment today. Give ability and wisdom to her medical staff that she may be restored to full health if it is your will. Comfort her family through your promise to work all things together for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. We commit her into your loving care. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We hear now our reading for this morning from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. There are two great climate seasons in the Holy Land, depending on which way the wind happens to be blowing. During a certain part of the year, when the winds are coming in off the Mediterranean Sea, it can get rather cool and you get a lot of rain. Sometimes so cool that every once in a while you'll get snow in Jerusalem. Just had a snow there about 4 years ago. Kind of changes our picture of what we think about that arid, dry area. But then if the winds are coming from the other direction across the deserts, you'll often get blowing hot sand and a very hot season. And so a lot of the houses had to be constructed in such a way to accommodate both of these extreme climate changes. And one of the things they would do is when they would build the roof of their house, they would make it so that you could remove certain portions and tiles and things off of the roof, or maybe palm branches. And it was more than likely a situation like that where the friends of this paralytic man now had, because the room was so crowded with people to see Jesus, had now gone up on top of the roof with their friend and lowered him right down in front of our Lord. Must have been quite an interesting scene. There's so much going on in this text in front of us. It's very interesting that we see Jesus knowing the thoughts that are in the hearts of people. He's able to read the minds and the hearts of everybody in the room. That's kind of an intimidating thing. If somebody had the ability to read your mind and to read what's going on down in your thoughts. King David says this, "The Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." Back in 1915, there was a doctor here in the United States who worked a lot with pregnant women, and he discovered that when he gave them the drug sodium pentothal, that they would often just start to talk about things that normally they wouldn't reveal and just go on and on sometimes talking about their lives and what's going on in their life. And this drug then, this chemical compound, became known as a truth serum. Our government even tried to use it on people who they had caught in espionage as spies to try to get them to tell the truth and so on. But it never held up in a court of law because people would just often ramble on and be rather delirious, you might say. Earthly courts try to get at the truth all the time. They're always trying to get at what is the motive in someone's heart. What is the reason that something happened or why someone is doing something? But we've never really come up yet with a perfect system to actually know the truth. Isn't it amazing to think that you in your life, just like I, we have things that are maybe buried so deep inside of our memories and consciences that the only ones who know about it is you and God? But don't be fooled. He does know. He does look down in and see everything that's going on inside of us. He has the ultimate truth serum. He has the ultimate test to be able to go down and search our hearts and to know everything about us. And he even does that with this man who is paralyzed. Because as Jesus looks at this man, we would normally think if we were in the room that the greatest issue this guy has is his paralysis. But Jesus is able to read his heart, his thoughts as well, and comes to see that his greatest need is the fact that he's struggling with his sin. He's wrestling with the fact that he is a sinful human being. Now, we might look at somebody who's paralyzed and think, well, what kind of sins can this guy do in his life? But we have to remember that sin is not in the things we do with our hands and feet. It always starts in the heart. It starts with coveting, and it starts with hatred or jealousy, starts with lust, whatever it is. It always begins in the heart. And as Jesus says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and wicked desires. And that's the fountain of it all. So we may try to do a great job of hiding our sins from other people, but God is always able to look down at the real fountain inside of us. So our Lord looks at this man and he sees what his real need is. He sees what's really going on inside of this man's conscience and heart. And he sees that it's a sickness of his soul that is the primary concern. Now, as Jesus addresses this man who's crushed about his sin, as Jesus speaks to him, I want you to notice what he doesn't say to him. He doesn't say, yeah, you should feel bad for how you've thought. He doesn't say to him, well, it's about time you came looking for me. He doesn't say to him, I want to see some real tears if there's real sorrow in your heart for what you've done wrong. But notice instead, Jesus simply gives him this beautiful expression, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. I bet we're going to hear stories from Las Vegas last night, that horrible shooting. There were 30 to 40,000 people in the crowd, and a guy from 32nd floor started shooting into that crowd. I'm sure we're going to start hearing stories of doctors and nurses and paramedics who were in the crowd as concert goers who probably rushed to help take care of people, apply tourniquets, and so on. People that are in those professions just instinctively need to go and apply their help. What a picture that is for us in the spiritual world of what Christ has done. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as soon as he sees somebody whose heart and conscience is aching because of their sin, he just can't wait to get to help them. He rushes to their side with his tender mercy and forgiveness and compassion. This is his highest mission. This is his highest calling. And he says this to this man now, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. It's as if Jesus himself reaches ahead in his own life, years ahead, to where he's going to die on the cross and make that atoning sacrifice for all sin and grab that precious gift and brings it now to this man even before it's taken place on the cross. And I also thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have Jesus himself come into your room some night talking to you when you're really struggling and crushed by your guilt, and to sit down next to you, be right in front of you, look you in the face, and tell you, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. But if you think about the Holy Christian Church that our Lord has established on earth, think about what happens here. That's exactly what he has done. There's a new children's museum downtown. It's an awesome place. You should go there sometime. If you ever get a chance to go in there, when you walk in the doors, you cannot miss the fact that this was designed for kids. Everything about it is for children. That was what was the number one thing on the mind of the designer. When you look at what God has established in the means of grace, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins, the proclamation of His Word for the forgiveness of sins, it's for people like you and me who wrestle and struggle with our guilt, who are afraid about Judgment Day. It's designed around people like us who need that precious gift from God that He delivers through His grace. And so today, if you are here wrestling with something in your past that only God knows about and nobody else in your whole life will ever know about, and even if it's something you've never acted upon but it troubles you, then hear Jesus' words again from my mouth today. Son and daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Please rise and join with me in the collect or the prayer for this week. You'll find it in the front part of the hymn book on page 163. Collect or prayer number 120. 163, page 163. Let's join together. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son, Jesus Christ, you mercifully help the paralytic both in body and soul. We beseech you, for the sake of your great mercy, be gracious also to us, forgive us all our sins, and so govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may not ourselves be the cause of sickness and other afflictions. Keep us in your fear and strengthen us by your grace, that we may escape temporal and eternal wrath and punishment. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.